Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Chronicle. I'm your host, Karan. All right, so in this episode, I have another guest. A couple guests, actually. They are from another podcast. They're from Bruh, a podcast. So in this episode, we'll talk about their podcast, what it's about. Then we also talk about some things that are going on in the world and how we can really come together and do these things to make a change. So stay tuned. All right, let's get started. So, Bruh, It's a Podcast is a podcast that uses a mystery platform to answer the most asked questions online from three different perspectives. Courtney is a failed NBA player, serial entrepreneur who enjoys playing sports. Q is a published author, screenwriter, producer, and unafraid to share his opinion he has on his mind. E is a down-to-earth individual with over a decade of experience working in corporate America. He enjoys taking on new tasks and enlightening people through comedy. Together, they are taking the podcast airwaves by storm, creating both visual and audio content for everyone to enjoy. All right, so let's welcome Courtney, E, and Q to the podcast.
So yeah, so tell us a little bit about yourselves.
Are we starting?
Yeah, we're gonna start.
Okay, cool. My fault. I'm somebody who's usually like on it, as you can see.
Yeah.
No. Oh no, we're just a bunch of cool fellas. Down to earth, love to crack jokes. Just people who aren't afraid to speak their minds. Yeah. Me specifically. I'm just a regular dude. Love to chill with my friends, hang out with the family, stuff like that. But it's about sharing your opinion, making people try to understand your standpoint. And I think, as we say, you know, intellectual conversation with a dash of humor.
Nice.
Right? That's how I would describe us.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm the oldest. I'm much older. I just don't look like it. So there's a lot of back and forth in ideals because millennials don't do things right. So we have a lot of debates on that. Like Courtney tapers all of his pants and, things like that. Things that just would irk somebody like me.
So gotcha.
There's a lot of back and forth with things like that.
Okay. I mean, that's completely fair. Q has his own identity. He's right. Courtney might taper his pants for a sense of style and fashion. Q still wears bell bottoms.
Wow.
So we are, we're from different areas, but we're all cool.
They're actually boot cut, but whatever.
Okay. You're the only person still wearing mountain gears. Okay. So it's all good. So you can't say that because you're not right.
There's nothing wrong with those.
There's nothing wrong with those. Yeah, I'm the youngest. I'm also the moderator. I kind of just stand in between the both of them and then just kind of have my hands out like this and then just kind of see what happens from time to time.
Gotcha.
But it's been really fun doing podcasts, creating content. And honestly, a forum just for like three black men to be able to talk and like show the world, like, you know, you can be smart, you can be funny, you can be you're going to be all these things at one time. Right.
Absolutely.
And, we just find that that's like so important to share. And like we said, like we could have fun literally about anything. I don't know how you literally said, tell me what you guys are about. And you guys just started making fun of it.
Even. Right.
I mean, you know, that's just how it goes, I guess. That's just how it goes.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I think that is what you said about just having three black guys together, like doing these things. Like, yeah, that's one reason why I started my podcast, is to be able to to show the world that I'm more than just like the whatever stereotype is out there.
Yeah, yeah, like you don't only play basketball.
Exactly.
Got you. Understood.
Exactly. Yeah.
But there's nothing wrong with the guy that does play basketball.
Yeah. You know? I mean, he's Karan is famous. He plays basketball. He's dating celebrities. Everybody knows who this guy is. I'm just honored that we're on his podcast.
Oh, Lord. But yeah, I played basketball for 35 plus years. So
nice. Okay.
And I'm long retired. So, but you know, I don't even know how we got there. But
I don't know how we got there either. But honestly, one of the biggest accomplishments that Q said is that, like, it's really amazing that he could play basketball for 30 to 35 years, like after his 40th birthday. Like, I thought that was like one of the things that
You're gonna jump right in. Right?
My bad.
We're just gonna get it popping already.
My bad. Five minutes into this
man's show. Now you know what? I am 47 years old. And I don't look like the oldest among the three of them. See, that's the real, that's the root of the issues. That's what their real problem is coming in.
I'm so confused now, because who looks oldest?
And if we had a foot race, I would not come in third. That's a guarantee.
You'd come in fourth.
Right.
That's what I mean, you're coming fourth.
Unbelievable, man.
So how did you all get into podcasting?
To be honest, I'll tell the story because I know Courtney doesn't want to tell the truth.
Interesting. All right, go ahead.
The truth is Courtney's the genius behind this, honestly. And I'm gonna be fair. He said that, you know, you should meet my friend Q. And he probably told Q, you should meet my cousin E. You guys would be awesome together. Let's put a podcast together. And we was like, yeah, sure, we'll do it. And then COVID hit. And we was like, oh, we got nothing to do. Let's do it.
Yeah.
And poof.
Yeah.
Stroke of genius. Here we are.
Nice.
Honestly, the story I usually tell everybody is, like, these guys, like, I've known for so long, right? Like, cool, but like separately, right? Like,
okay.
That bubble never mixed, like, where all three of us were together. But like these two guys have like this ability that anytime we would be a restaurant, hanging out among people, like anywhere we would be, like I would be having conversations with them and we're laughing amongst us. But like people from like other tables are like listening in to our conversations and laughing with us too. It's like, mind your business. Like we're not even talking, right. You know what I mean? Almost. But like everywhere we went, like these guys would just start talking and like people around them would just like, just fall into whatever these guys were saying. And they're both like so likable, so lovable, so hilarious, and like smart at the same time. You know, it's not that like stupid humor where you're just saying a bunch of crude, unnecessary stuff.
Right.
It's like stuff that you're laughing about and then you think about. And like he said, the only thing that I will take credit for is I was just like, all right, I've seen how big podcasting has become and it's something that I feel like I would enjoy doing. And I was like, man, if I was to do one, these are the two guys that I would want to do it with. I needed to be these two guys. And then honestly, like, I think like the first time that they met, like we just had like a conversation and they just kind of hit it off. And it was crazy because when we first started this, people were saying, because we did like a couple episodes before our actual debut just to kind of see how it would work, right?
Okay.
And we sent it to a couple people and they're like, man, like you could tell you guys have known each other for years. And it's like, no, they actually just met last week. Like it wasn't like it wasn't even, you know. So I find that to be so fun, and it's just gotten better at that point. So that's nice. Kind of how things started off, and it's been really, really fun to do.
Okay. Yeah, how long has the podcast been out?
Ooh, we started at the
relationship question. What's our anniversary at all?
Yeah, honestly, you guys should know this because I know you guys don't. We started at the end of March, beginning of April.
Okay.
We kind of were like, let's see how it goes. And it started to take off a little bit faster than we anticipated. Like we started getting a bunch of reviews and stuff from like the Apple podcast rating, right? And
right,
like 30, and we're like, oh, that's awesome. And then it was like 50, and then it was 100, and now it's climbing. You know, we're like almost gonna get to 300, I guess, soon in the next couple months or so, or however fast that takes. But we were like, man, it's cool that people really start to like enjoy this, especially because the three of us aren't celebrities. We don't have like big names. We're not big on social media. We just were like, let's just put this together.
Yeah.
And it's been fun. So we've been on it for only a couple minutes. We just started season two.
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. Yeah, 2 weeks ago.
So. The third episode is coming out Thursday, this Thursday.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Okay. So, So what have been some of the topics that you touch on?
Just about everything. We have a mystery platform that we use.
Okay.
And it generates the hottest topics that's trending and stuff like that. So we use that from time to time. Occasionally we bring our own ideas and what we're talking about. So it's, you know, just regular pop culture, politics, sports, relationships, stuff like that. It's a broad type of podcast.
And okay.
I would say that our niche is that we like to make you feel like you're part of the conversation. We call it like the barbecue tradition, you know what I mean?
Or gotcha.
The barbershop tradition, whatever way you might want to see it. We want you to feel like you're engaging in the conversation. You laugh with us. You might be mad at us. You might yell at us while you're listening.
Right.
One way or the other, you know what I mean? We want you to feel like you're part of us, you know?
Okay.
That's the goal of the podcast.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, I think I want to get into some. Some hard-hitting things.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Hey, that means it's time for me to do the talking, y'all.
Hold it down, Q.
So yeah, I think now it's we're in such a weird time with COVID and with the election coming up and all of that. So what do you think are some of the most important things that you see we need to do as a country for us to keep going on and keep pushing towards the progression that we had made for a while before now?
I hate giving them credit in any way, Courtney and E, but this is the time where young people have to make the difference. And unlike years prior, young people are more involved now than they've ever been in anything. So for real change to take place, these young folks that are out here voting, that are out here leading, and that are out here doing all these things, they have to really step up, continue to do that. And that's the only way change is really going to happen, because the young people are the ones that are still going to be here, you know, in 40, 50 years. So the foundation that they're laying down definitely makes a difference. I know when I was in my 20s, young people didn't do anything. They listened to what the older folks said, but it's a lot of young leaders now. So I think in terms of changing, that's the foundation of it. Young people, not young people like E and Courtney, but, you know, other young people.
Well, I'm gonna ignore that shot and continue and go based on what he was saying. In regards to the young people, and I guess he's referring to having energy and standing up, I think what we need to do is literally fight back and stand up for what's right. I think previous generations, or maybe a little bit older than us, if something occurred, a lot of us, we just stayed quiet because that was what was safe. Right. A lot of people just stayed quiet because that was what was safe. It's not like necessarily that they condoned what was happening, or it wasn't like, it's not my problem, it's your problem. But they were just quiet because that's just where it was. And now a lot of people are speaking out, whether it's via through social media or protesting, a lot more protesting. And the protests are getting more media coverage and so forth. And we're using those avenues, such as whatever the internet gives us, to get our message out and so forth. What I think we need to continue standing up for what's right, right? We need to continue to fight injustice on all levels and realize that we actually need each other. Well, what we talked about on our podcast is, in regards to, you know, all the Breonna Taylors and the, mm-hmm. the Floyds and all the civil rights unrest, we saw that it was a lot of multiracial people out there protesting in Soap Arch for right. unity. So what we said is that we need continue the backing from everybody to take on the corrupt system or what just seems to just be wrong. We need to stand up for what's right out there. So we know we say unity is cliche, but we're seeing that and we got to keep that going.
Yeah.
So okay. Those are good points. Honestly, I'm gonna go in a different route in terms of what I think could happen in terms of like what we need. I think one of the easiest things that we have, right, are like these like apps, right? Instagram and, you know, whatever we all use, TikTok. Like, we make it so easy to understand all the stuff that makes us money. But when it comes to things like politics and like these like nitty gritty details, right, it's so difficult for us to find out what does this person stand, or what does it mean to be a district attorney, what does it mean to do all these things. And honestly, if someone just said, hey Corey, I would give you $20-50 million, I feel like now for the younger generation, like I want to make an app that makes it easy to understand like a lot of these things, right? Like make it simple, like low-hanging fruit right. for kids to understand. And it doesn't need to be like they have to understand every part of like the process per se, but like we should be able to ask people like, how does this person affect my life, right? What, and then yep. judges and attorneys and governors and like everything. Like I feel that if there was a way that they could make it as consumable as Instagram is, right, if you hand an iPad to a five-year-old nowadays, they know it better than me. They know it, you know, it's like they're born with this right. And right. But I feel like, and there's probably a reason for this. And I know there's a lot of different things like Rock the Vote and a lot of different platforms that are out there that make it, they try to make it easier for people to understand. But I mean like an all encompassing app that just makes it like as simple to understand these different points. If I click this, it explains that and it can make it as,
right.
you know, digestible as possible in terms of like kids wanting to interact with it or whatever. But honestly, I think that would be like a big change, right? I just think that would make it easier for people to understand who they're voting for, what right. it means to vote, the effects of it, and then all levels of like government, the changes that come within, you know, each round. So that would be my opinion. I know it's like a little bit outside the box, but yeah, I
think you're a millennial. It's fine. You can go outside the box.
Of course. No, I really like that though, because I'm like, as you were saying that, I was thinking back to like my experience in like 10th grade civics class, mm-hmm. where, yeah, we talked about the different levels of government. We talked about, we somewhat talked about the importance of voting, mm-hmm. but it wasn't like, these are all the things that happen. And these are all the people that you potentially mm-hmm. have to be able to influence. And I think, yeah, I think something like an app or something that really can put that out there, for especially for young people, because that's what we do, is we're on our phones, we're on social media, and we want to have as easy a process as possible. So having those things would be really beneficial.
No, agreed. And that way we can get someone like you on an app too, Q, right? Like if it was for voting something as important and it was easy for you to understand. I know you don't like the knickknacks of everything, but I feel older generation, younger generation, like all combined,
right?
So Q has apps.
I know where this is gonna go.
Oh boy.
It's probably, I don't know what you're talking about. God.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I think it could be, it definitely could be for all generations to be able to get through and be able to understand. It's something that think that would be a good market for someone to take care of. Okay. So I wanted to go back to like the protests and everything. Like, yeah, there's so I live in Pittsburgh, and there were, it was right after the Minnesota riots that Pittsburgh, we had one big riot that just rocked the entire city, rocked in downtown, where it basically started from someone lighting a police car on fire. And so that created so much chaos. All the stores and shops downtown were busted into and looted. So what has been your experience with these, with the protests, with the riots, things like that?
I'm in DC, I'm in the DC area. So there was a lot of protests, a lot of, they had their fair share of violence. Honestly, I work for the government.
Okay.
So I can't really get involved like I want to.
Yeah.
But I want to. But there was definitely a fair share here where I am. I'll say okay. that.
So I'm from the Jersey area. And I think Newark was actually noted for having one of the most peaceful protests, right?
Okay.
Especially with Newark, New Jersey's history in regards to the civil rights movement and how active they were as a community. But they're one of the most peaceful ones. And surprisingly, even a lot of the suburban areas took part in the Black Lives Matter protests and so forth. I know Maplewood and South Orange had one. I believe West Orange had one as well. So even the more suburban areas around the Newark area had protests as well. So they were very active in regards to standing up for that as well.
Yeah. Okay.
So in regards to what I drove by the rally, I took part in the rally as well in the one in Newark, but it wasn't as mainstream until after Ford, but they were setting up for civil rights in general. But
right.
New Jersey's really been proactive in regards to the protests and so forth.
Okay. Yeah,
I think one of the biggest differences that I've seen is just the keyword that you use, E, was like the suburban areas of like how, I mean, involved, I mean, we can get real deep and nitty gritty into like what protesting can and can't be, right? But I did find it interesting just like to see Black Lives Matter like on like regular streets of like white neighborhoods, right? Like that was something that was a bit different for me to see. And it's not even like it's now it's not even that like where it's chalk and you could wipe, it's like painted onto the street, right?
Right, yeah.
So that was something that was like really, really different and interesting to me, because I'm like, a year ago, this wouldn't have happened, right? And it seems that there's like a turning of the tide. I don't know how big of a turn, but there's a turning, right? And I guess at a certain point, we have to take small victories, and when they start to add up, then it become a bigger victory at the end of the day. But hopefully that just serves as like a constant reminder, right? You're driving down the street and you're going to go get your gelato or whatever. You see Black Lives Matter. Hopefully that sparks something in your mind, right? Or
right.
You're just walking your dog and you've never thought about it before. You see it sparks something in your mind. I think a lot of the problem sometimes doesn't even necessarily come from the people that are directly racist, right? Because I think that there's more good people in the world than bad. That's just me.
Yeah.
But I think there's a certain ignorance that comes when you're like, I'm not a part of it and I've never really asked what's going on. So I just pretend that it doesn't happen. So it's all right. Good. And it's like, no, those are the people that we need a part of this battle, right? This happens. This is happening like at the next door neighbor. It's happening at your school. It's happening at your son's daycare. Like all of these different things that people used to ignore and pretend that didn't happen. It's like, no, this is happening and we need you to say something and to be a part of
right.
it. So and I think that that's been a cool part of it.
And that's exactly what I was
now, go ahead, E.
And that's exactly what I was referring to before about people who were just quiet in the past. right? Mm-hmm. They were just quiet about it, whether it's not affecting them directly or their people or their community or anything like that. But now we're just seeing everybody sitting up for just what's right in the world, right?
Right,
What every human is just supposed to be given, right? They're supposed to be guaranteed those certain alienable rights, right? Unalienable rights and the pursuit of happiness, right? That's
right.
What we're built on. So the fact that people are just standing up for what's right now, it's good. And we do need to keep that momentum going.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
And, you know, even if it was birthed out of language of hate, even if it was birthed out of just being tired or if it was birthed out of a video, we have to continue to swing the tide over to love, right?
Yeah.
We got to swing the tide over to love and respect and just general knowledge and acceptance of others.
Right. Yeah. And I will say, like, I have become a lot more active within, I would say at least within these last 4 years, because of all of the rhetoric and all of that has been coming out. And I was really ashamed of myself at first because I was like, you just didn't do anything, you know? But now I'm like, okay, you didn't do anything, but now you are doing something and you are making sure that this is something, you are pushing the agenda a little bit further, or at least helping to push the agenda a little bit further, to help anyone and everyone in this world that feels oppressed or feels as if they're being discriminated against in some way.
And you said something very powerful, right? And borderline, you were ashamed of your stance, right? Because you didn't do anything or something like that. And that is actually very powerful. And I hope a lot of people feel that way. And I felt that way too, because I said to myself, yo, if I was alive in the 60s, because Q was alive then. But
no, I was not.
So I thought to myself, if I was alive in the 60s, like the way that I'm acting right now, would I have marched with Martin Luther King? You know, would I have been on the front lines? Would I have done something to make things better for us as a people or for future generations? And to think about and to think about all that they've been through to just let us be able to go to school, to let us drink from the same water fountain, for all the work that they went through, and we're scared to send out a tweet because we might offend some people. We're scared to stand up for what's right and so forth. So this stance that you had, I felt it too. And that's what made me want to speak clearly, right? Speak freely and so forth. And I hope that feeling turned into motivation and it turned into just action, right? Good action.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, it's no longer right to be quiet. We have to stand up for what's right. And hopefully we see a change in our generation, but it's definitely going to form a change for others. And just as Courtney said, voting's on all levels. You know, when we think election, we only think president. No. You got to vote for mayors. No. You got to vote for councilmen, city councilmen, all this other stuff. And all of that matters because that all impacts rules, laws, and so forth.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, I think a big part of this gaining so much momentum is white people, because when white people are bothered, people pay attention. And I think when what happened to George Floyd happened, it opened the eyes of a lot of white people that frowned at the thought of the words white privilege.
Right.
And they didn't realize that that's what they had been enjoying until white men saw that and realized they've never had to talk to their sons about how to act around the police. White women had never had to think about the things that Black women went through to that point. So when white people are bothered, it seems that's when things happen. We've been rallying and picketing and doing all these things for years. Nothing has ever occurred, you know, there hasn't been this much change until this began. And that's because they are looking around and they're saying, okay, you know what? My great, great granddaddy did steal land from these black people in the South. And then he handed it down and he handed it down. And this is how I got a head start on where I'm at today. Now I kind of get why they keep complaining about this 40 acres and a mule thing. Like, right. it's all relative. I think they're starting to get that. And that's why it's, that's why so many people are have their eyes open now as opposed to before.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Yeah, I believe there was more uproar because there was that upset from the community, and they now we're like, yes, now we feel like we can do this, and there's more media coverage on it because of that as well.
And that's what drives all decisions anyway, right? Like the media coverage, what people see, who starts to lose money, who's affected by what, then people start to pay attention. It's annoying that it has to work that way, right? It's a little backwards. But I mean, at this point, whatever's going to start to make change and make a difference is what we got to ride with.
Well, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. At least people's eyes are open now. I mean, before this, white women would just think, hey, look, I bone these black dudes in college. I know what they go through. I know how they think. That's what they thought. Exactly. Now they're starting to realize it's deeper than that.
Yeah. 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 And I think I've experienced someone saying like, oh my gosh, yeah, I don't know what you're going through now. Like, just because you're black and you're my friend, I don't know what you're going through. Like, I don't know how you're feeling about these particular situations. Like, I don't know how your mom feels about you going out and driving and potentially something happening. I don't know how that feels, but I want to let you know that I'm there for you.
Yeah.
And that was really powerful as well, because I had never had someone come to me and say that to me at any point.
Wow. Yeah.
To your point, honestly, I've spoken with more white friends that I've had over the past 6 months to a year about everything that's kind of been going on than ever before. And it's like been like genuine interest, but it's been like you said, like almost like shock and surprise. It is like, I feel like I'm so close to you, or that I know you, or that I kind of know your life, and I don't. Right? Like all these situations that we'll joke about, or that I'll see in a movie, or that you know, people will comment on, it's like, oh yeah, that's happening to somebody else, not somebody that I know. And then when you start to really break it down, like, no, literally pay attention, I'll tell you. Yeah. And then it's shocking.
This
awe.
Is actually happening.
Yeah, this is real life. Yeah. This is not just like a movement. It's like, now, when I was born up into the age that I am now, these are the stereotypes and difficulties that I deal with every day as a black man.
Absolutely.
The workplace,
exactly.
The store,
right?
Everywhere.
Yeah. So going off of that. Yeah. Like, what? How growing up? How have you had to deal with like different stereotypes, within yourself?
I had two of my friends, and we were on an elevator. And we had our gym bags on, and this lady walks in. She was a white, middle-aged lady. She walks in, and she's on the elevator, and she looks at us. And to her defense, one was 6'5", and the other one was 6'2". And she looks at us, and she goes, oh, I got the whole basketball team here. And now she starts laughing, and one of my friends starts laughing. And I was like, excuse me, we're about to go play tennis. And then she looked at me, she goes, oh, I'm so sorry. And she pushes, like, you know, the next floor, and she gets up to the next floor. Now, that's wrong. But the reality of the situation is we're going to play basketball anyway. But I just wanted to let her know that, you know, I mean, we can do other things. It doesn't only have to be basketball, you know what I mean?
Okay.
And, you know, it's just those stereotypes are just looking at you, and you just think that you do a certain thing. But you
that's
know,
what you were doing.
Oh, so that's okay? Just because I was able to stay, that means it's okay?
Oh, my God.
What if I had physics books in my gym bag? Did she see that?
You didn't.
So what? My goodness.
Oh, my God. Okay. I've been pulled over almost 100 times in my life. Sued a police precinct for putting a gun to my head once. When I tell people I've been pulled over almost 100 times, when you tell a white person that, they're like blown away.
Right.
If I tell y'all that, you're like, yeah, I'm at 40, 50 now. I'll probably get there. Like, it's not that big a deal. But yeah, those are the type of things. I mean, when I get pulled over, as soon as I see the lights, I race to get my license, registration, and insurance out before he gets to the window, because right. I'm not gonna reach for it once he gets to the window, even if he asks me for it. I'll tell him, bro, I'm not taking that out. So let's figure this out. So these are the type of things that other people don't have to go through, because I move slow, so it's hard for me to get my license, registration, and insurance out when they pull me over.
And this dude's gonna win a race. But to take it more seriously, I record every police interaction I have now.
Okay.
I just do.
Yeah.
I record every police interaction I have now. If it's if I get pulled over, I record it. If it's checkpoints, I don't know if they have those in Pittsburgh. checkpoints where they stop you just to make sure, you know, all your papers are right. Yeah. I record every single police interaction now.
Makes sense. That's definitely something that we have to do.
And that's sad, right? Something we
it is. It's we have to do. And that's the one thing that I've heard so many African American women, men, even children say, like, I have to do this because if I don't, this could potentially happen to me. And that's just not okay. Not okay at all. But it sounds, I think you guys have another place to be at 6:45. So I want to thank you for this conversation. The last thing I want to say is, where can we find you on social media?
You can find us on social media on Instagram at Bruh It's a Podcast, and you could also check us out on YouTube, one word, Bruh It's a Podcast. We have a lot of hilarious videos, content, mockumentaries, short videos, and different clips for people to enjoy with us and just to laugh in this like time and age. You could find us there, and we post really, really consistently. So once we got you, we keep you.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah. I would love to have you back on. We can continue this conversation again too.
Absolutely. And if you want me to come by myself without them, just shoot an email or something.
sounds good.
Karan, how the kids, man? What, do you have any kids?
How are the kids?
I mean, I see you and Gabrielle, you know, all over Instagram.
But All right, man.
Keep doing your thing, man. You got a podcast. Let us know how we can support you.
Also, he looks like Dwayne Wade.
Oh, God. He does.
Thank you so much.
Dwayne Wade is cross-eyed with a puffy lip. He doesn't have that stuff.
Karan has glasses, so we can't see his eyes.
All right,
thank you so much.
You do a lot of work after basketball. We appreciate it, man. Keep doing it.
God.
All right, bro.
Take care of yourself, man.
All right, see ya.
All right, talk soon.
All right, that's it for this episode. I want to thank Q, Courtney, and E for being on from Bruh It's a Podcast. If you want to follow them and check them out, you can find them at any place that you get your your podcast at Bruh It's a Podcast. They're also on YouTube, Bruh It's a Podcast, all one word, and on social media. You can also, yeah, check them out on all those social medias. If you don't mind, I would love it if you would like, share, tweet, call up your mom, call up your grandma, and let them know about this podcast, and get them listening. But you can find me on social media at Twitter and Instagram is at the Chronicle. Snapchat is CuranSB. The blog, where I post pictures, talk a little bit more about what we talked about in the podcast, things like that. Those will be posted at thechroniclepodcast.blogspot.com. You can also email me at chroniclepodcast@gmail.com. Yeah, if you want to be on the show, you have any questions, anything like that, please feel free to send them my way, or let me know that you want to be on, and we'll get you all scheduled. All right, until next time.